We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jenna Cameron, John Rich, it is 94 WIP. And every single Friday at this time, we play a little game called Beat the Hammer. But first, your chance to win $1,000. Because the start of the 12 and 1 o'clock hour every single day on our show for a good large stretch here of time, about a month, you're going to have a chance to win $1,000, including right now. Your chance to win $1,000 right now, texting the word FLY to 72881. Text FLY to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide texter is going to win $1,000. You've got another chance to win $1,000 at this very time on noon, at noon on Monday. And every day on WIP here at 8 a.m., noon, 1, 3, and 4 p.m. That's every weekday. It's all powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL, BetQL. All right, Beat the Hammer is sponsored by J&S Mitsubishi. It's the J&S Mitsubishi Any Day, Any Trade Go Sale. Let me say that again. It's the J&S Mitsubishi Any Trade Go Sale. Visit jsmitsubishi.com. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer. On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Look, what it's time for is victory number 160, and I expect to get it. We do have a $50 Corner Bakery gift card on the line here today, either for our contestant or perhaps someone else. Brighten your day with kitchen-crafted, artisan-inspired food made by real cooks for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Enjoy all your favorites safely delivered right to your door. Our contestant today, his name is Herb. He hails from Vineland. Now, Herbs are typically older fellas at this point. So if it's some older history, maybe Herb will have a better shot. What's up, Herb?
How's it going, Joe?
Herb, how old are you, sir, if you don't mind me asking?
34.
Oh, okay, you're a young Herb.
All right.
Wow.
I'm the third.
There we go.
That makes sense.
There you go. Herb, is there going to be a fourth?
Hopefully.
Okay, good for you, my man. All right, Herb, you know how Beat the Hammer works?
Yes, I do.
Do you feel like you're pretty good at sports trivia?
I try to get in every week. I never get anything but a busy signal, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, but you didn't answer the question. Are you good at sports trivia?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
I think the idea of calling in every week.
I do, too.
Yeah.
All right, Herb, I'm going to step into the soundproof booth. I wish you good luck, buddy.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, scram. Get out of here. Let's go.
He's definitely
haughty
feeling
today.
Himself
haughty.
More than normal
hammer.
Today,
yeah.
Isn't he?
It is. A haughty hammer for Herb. Look at that.
At least he's not doing the George Jefferson anymore.
It's true. He's learned. All right, he is. So he did it a little bit. He just did a little mini one at the end there. So, Herb, that's good for you. All right, he is safely ensconced in the soundproof booth. Herb, you ready to play Beat the Hammer?
Yes, I am.
All right, our category for the day, we're doing a little Philadelphia-Atlanta history. Big moments in Philadelphia-Atlanta history. Sixers, Hawks, obvious reasons. Ready to roll.
It's hard to hear you, but yeah.
You got me? Can you hear me now, Herb?
Yep.
Okay. The clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. Philadelphia-Atlanta trivia. Here we go. Question number one. What was the final score of the Eagles' win over the Falcons in the NFC Championship game in January of 2005?
16-14.
Prior to this season, how many times did the Sixers and Hawks met in the playoffs?
Three.
Mitch Williams is one of three Phillies pitchers who got a win in the 1993 NLCS versus the Braves. Name one of the other two.
Schilling.
three different Eagles registered a sack in the team's 15-10 win over the Falcons in the divisional round of the 2018 playoffs. Name one of them.
Barnett.
How many Sixers players have scored at least 20 points in both Game 1 and Game 2 versus the Hawks this series?
Repeat the question.
How many Sixers players have scored at least 20 points in both Game 1 and Game 2 versus the Hawks this playoffs?
Three.
All right. We got one at the end there. All right, Herb. You got a shot. Not a zero. We're going to put you on hold. I don't feel amazing
got it in
about
comfortably.
It. Got one in there. I'm going to wave the hammer bag in.
Those were some... Those were tricky. I mean, lots of thinking. Those were tough.
Got a shot.
Tough week.
Yeah, I agree.
I struggled.
I agree.
Personally.
I agree. You ready to roll here, Hammer?
How's everybody doing?
How's everybody doing?
In the words of Nick Foles. Come on, play the audio.
How's everyone doing?
Take a second.
Be on your game there, Seltzer.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Was that your Nick Foles impression?
No, I just more said.
Do you have a Nick Foles impression?
Yeah, but I can't show you that.
Why not?
We're at work.
He always does that. Always. You should have seen this coming a mile away.
I can't believe I opened
that. Yeah, that was your fault for seeing that. Not seeing that coming.
That would be inappropriate workplace conduct.
You ready to roll here?
I am.
Our category for the week.
I'm kind of amused by that.
I bet you are.
That exchange.
I'll bet you are.
And that could win drop of the week right there.
I don't know if I want to play that. I don't think I want to play that again. I think we're good. All right. Our category for the week, obvious reasons. We're doing a little Philadelphia-Atlanta trivia. Big moments in Philadelphia-Atlanta sports.
Wow. Maybe an algae crumpler question in here.
Ready to roll?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Question number one.
Atlanta and Philly. Wow. Yeah, all right, let's roll.
Ready? Here we go.
Let's go.
Question number one.
Yep.
What was the final score of the Eagles' win over the Falcons in the NFC Championship game in January of 2005?
27-10.
Prior to this season, how many times did the Sixers and Hawks met in the playoffs?
They met zero times.
Mitch Williams is one of three Phillies pitchers who got a win in the 1993 NLCS versus the Braves. Name one of the other two.
Mitch got that's interesting. So not game one, not two or three. So four is DJ, but that's Mitch. Five is
you just need to name one of the
I understand
other
Tommy Green.
Three different Eagles registered a sack in the team's 15-10 win over the Falcons in the divisional round of the 2018 playoffs. Name one of them.
I'll go with Fletcher Cox.
How many Sixers players have scored at least 20 points in both game one and game two versus the Hawks this playoffs?
I'll go with two.
A 3-1 victory.
Okay. How many scored 20?
Three. Curry, Tobias, and Embiid have all scored 20-plus in each game. Danny Jackson and Tommy Green are the two pitchers. That's why you said DJ. I was like, why don't you just go with DJ? I was confused.
No, because I thought, anyway. They won 2-1. I should have said DJ.
Hawks and Sixers, 1980 and 1982. So they've met two times in the playoffs prior.
How about Seltzer trying to influence my answer? Get out of here. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. That, ladies and gentlemen. It's nice when you get to a big old, round number. And 160 is a pretty hefty number.
You all right there? It's like I feel like you're really feeling this right now.
160. I mean, I want everyone to think about it.
Getting
160 victuries.
That meant everything to me.
No, it doesn't mean everything.
It means a lot. I'm just very
160.
Emotional.
Now, Herb in Vineland, he's got zero victories. Hello, Herb.
How's it going, Joe?
Herb, it's going really good, actually. How's it going for you?
Sorry, you got me this time. I'll get you next time.
Well,
they were tough. They were tough questions.
They made you think. So when did the Sixers and Hawks play? I didn't know that.
80 and 82.
Wow. Did you say that?
I really didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know it either. I looked it up. So there you
interesting.
Go.
Wow. Herb, I don't know. I mean, not great work by you. I guess you got 1 of 5. I mean, you got a batting average kind of like Alec Boehm. I mean, you could be a big leaguer with that approach.
At least I swing the bat.
You know what? That's well said there, Herb. That's well said.
Great job.
Herb, for that zinger right there, we are going to award you, despite your loss, and it was a loss, pretty convincing, by the way, we're going to award you the $50 Corner Bakery gift card because you're a fine fella, a listener to WIP, and a losing contestant on Beat the Hammer. Herb, I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your information. Thank you very much,
sir. Thanks, Joe.
All right, buddy.
Good job, Herb.
And with that, again, everyone just reflect. Soak it in. 160. Wow. And with that, we shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I mean, 160.
The breath before is soak it in. Yeah. That was something, man.
Now, James, you haven't shut the music off, though.
That's on me. You're right. I'm so shut off when I hit that. I was so your breathe in.
Why couldn't
totally...
that be Last of the Mohicans?
Yeah, right.
That's right. If you don't know what John's referencing, his desire is for our show sometime, or maybe all time, to do an entire show with the Last of the Mohicans theme music beneath us, which, by the way, would be very cool.
We're shut down immediately.
It's
as
tremendous.
An idea.
Now, let's just remember, though, I'm Spike Eskin. Who is leaving Philadelphia to go to New York to run a New York radio station coming up in about a month or so, who was the one that said that was not allowed. Let's just put it this way. The kids are going to come out to play in about a month. It's going to be total anarchy around here. So we want the Last of the Mohicans music underneath our show, and the Last of the Mohicans music underneath the show, it shall be. Of course, speaking of anarchy, there's the Phillies and how Joe Girardi doesn't hold anybody accountable. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Bill right now. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Great.
Man, I love the show. You guys are great. I listen every day.
Thank you.
So let me get my trio out of the way first.
Sure, go ahead.
Lethal Weapon.
Pesci's in there. Yep. Then they even even have four when Rene Russo joins the cast, which I think is maybe in Lethal Weapon 4, 3? I don't know. Whatever.
I think she's in 3 and 4.
3 and 4.
She shows up in 3 and then in 4 they get married.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Hey, Bill, aren't I right here that Joe Girardi's got to hold Segura and Odubel Herrera accountable?
Listen, somebody has to. I think he should blast them both in front of the team. I mean, you start out in Little League, and the first thing you're taught is run everything out because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
The first baseman could drop the ball. Anything could happen, you know?
Yep.
So I think he should call them out in front of the team.
When he did that? When he tried to do that in the dugout?
And they turned out into a fight.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's any one man that's bigger than the team, you know?
There shouldn't be.
Well, and certainly these two aren't. Like, it's one thing if Barry Bonds wants to be a prima donna. Like, that's – at least he's Barry Bonds. Gene Segura and Odubel Herrera are not Barry Bonds.
No.
I mean, come on.
Granted, they are producing a lot, but, you know, that can't – That can't stand for, you know what I mean?
I agree.
I'm going to loaf.
I'm with you, man. Totally.
As far as the Sixers, I'm not worried about the Sixers. But still, the baseball thing sticks out to me. It's kind of disgraceful.
I agree. I mean, I totally agree.
These guys are supposed to be role models and everything else.
Bill, you know what they're supposed to be?
Well, they're not that.
They're supposed to be professionals. And that's unprofessional. And, Bill, good call. It's unprofessional when they don't run out of the box. And, you know, someone pointed out to me on Twitter, and it's a good point, because, you know, we talked, and John, you pushed back on me when I said to bench Segura also. And part of my point is, you know, I'm talking about the 10th inning. Look, he gets the winning hit. It's a great hit. It's off the left field wall, the whole deal. And obviously there's a runner on second and third, and the runner on second is the winning run. But here's the thing. A guy on Twitter pointed this out. You know, there is a chance that ball in left field, instead of hitting off near the top of the wall, could be just a little short of that. There's no way Segura knows in the moment exactly where it's going to land. And the defensive player could hit his glove where the guy on second base has to stay near second for the possibility of, hey,
Odubel did stay.
I know he did.
He had to delay
an awful long time. Because, you know, the center fielder maybe is going to catch it. So what if he doesn't catch it, but it ricochets off his glove, but in a way where the center fielder then can pick it up?
Segura's run doesn't matter. Like, even if he's on first instead of second.
You're missing my point, James. If the center fielder just barely misses it but picks it up, the runner on second base could be thrown out at home plate. That could happen. And if that happens, then Segura does
matter.
Becomes
the lead runner.
Yeah.
I get it. But, I mean, it's unlikely.
But it is unlikely, but it's just...
unlikely.
But, James, that could happen. I mean, that ball... Like, when that ball is hit, no one in the ballpark, the pitcher, the batter, none of the fans, 15,000, 12,000, whatever the heck they had yesterday, no one really knows where it's going to land. It's either going to be out of the ballpark, it's going to be caught, it's going to be off the wall, It's going to be in the gap short of the fence. I mean, it's going to be somewhere in that range. Segura just doesn't run. Unacceptable. Let's go to Tom and
so
go ahead, John.
Yes, in a perfect world, they run.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, they set that great example for kids around the world.
I don't even care about that. I just care
in
about
in a perfect world,
just,
they are accountable to their teammates.
Be a good teammate.
And they fire out of the batter's box every time they hit the ball.
Yep.
The trick is trying to get them to accept that responsibility. And despite
That is
many efforts on Joe Girardi's part, they don't. So what you're suggesting, which is just sit them, which has been done. That has been done for both guys.
Yep.
And they're still the same guys. I'm just saying it is beating your head against the wall, and it is not helping the team. In fact, it is hurting the team because these are our two best players this season.
Let's go to the phones, find out what people think here. Let's talk to Tom in Abington right now. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How are we doing today?
Great, Tom.
All right, just a couple things before I get to my sports point. First off, I'm a little disappointed in the audience with the whole Father Joe thing that's been going on when everybody knows that you're really Sister Geraldine.
Ah, good point.
good memory by you, Tom.
And then second, John, if the Sixers do lose this series, since Joe is going to see his hairdresser anyway, why don't you forego the frosted tips and just have him go all the way and get the permanent?
Yeah, I suggested a perm. It wasn't met with any sort of response whatsoever. I don't know. I don't think Joe would ever consider.
I mean, Tom, do you think that I should consider getting a perm?
I don't think you should consider. I think you should do it because it would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious.
It might be hilarious for you. It's not hilarious for me, right?
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's your point. That's not my point. Your objective and my objective are two different objectives.
Usually that's the case. So, listen, when it comes to – all right, so I remember you guys having a little debate a day or two ago whether or not Doc sugarcoated to Ben in the moment, taking him out of the
correct.
Game.
Correct. We did talk about that. Exactly.
So I think John was correct there, right?
I don't know. I think you might be right. Yeah. I mean,
if he's saying what he's saying in the, you know.
Well, I'm
gyms.
Just. It's possible that Doc says it to him real and then covers for him publicly.
I don't see that.
That's possible. I'll tell you this, Tom. I read a good Kobe Bryant book. It was written about 5 years ago, and one of the things that stood out to me is it said that when Phil Jackson came back to the Lakers, the sort of condition of it all between Phil and Kobe was that Phil Jackson would get on Kobe privately, but would never publicly get on him because Kobe did not appreciate the first time Phil was there getting on Kobe publicly. So it's
sure. Well,
possible.
I just think you're being a little nitpicky with Doc, because it's like, who cares what he says in the Zoom as long as he does the right thing and
But the greater point is he actually not challenging Ben? That's the point.
Listen, Ben is Ben.
By the way, Tom, there is a lesser point, which is let's not just shovel a bunch of nonsense out there to the general public.
Well, they do that anyway.
No,
Joe.
But that's a lot of nonsense.
But isn't the most important point that he does the right thing in the game moment?
You know what? It's either that or does he challenge Ben? I mean, there's the micro. The micro is how does he handle the moment as a coach coaching that game?
Sure.
The macro point is he not pushing Ben Simmons enough to give the Sixers the best chance to become a title-winning team? That to me, is really the greatest point of all.
Now, the separate issue, Girardi, look, when it comes to Gene Segura and that other guy, the name I don't speak, they should be benched because that's just a lack of effort.
It's exactly right.
In the game moment. So it's kind of apples and oranges when you're going Ben and then you go back to the Phillies, but they should absolutely be benched.
Yeah, I'm glad you agree. Tom, give me a fictional trio.
All right, so I will give you the Kingslayer, his sister/lover, and their brother Tyrion, the Lannister kids.
It's an outstanding answer,
yeah,
right?
Really
there,
good
right?
answer.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Also, their kids are three too. Tommen, Joffrey, and what was her name? I can't remember the girl, but they had three kids too.
I can't remember that either.
She dies on the boat with the what's her name? Anyway,
can't remember. By the way, speaking of shows and speaking of boats, I finished Atlantic Crossing about a week ago. Total recommendation. Total. It's,
yeah, our buddy Tommy loved it, too. He recommended it.
Tremendous show. John, you should watch Atlanta Crossing. Very, very good. World War II stuff. FDR. Interesting Scandinavian connection. Very, very good.
Let's go. Well, I probably won't.
I know you won't. I know you won't, but I'm just saying, I'm recommending
it
to you.
It sounds intriguing.
It's only 8 episodes, I think, or 6 or 7. It's very doable. It's easy. It's good.
I just started Mayor of Easttown. I'm a couple episodes into that.
I am 3 episodes
in. Yeah, I'm
in.
2 in.
Yep.
Enjoying it.
Outstanding show. To Jimmy in New Jersey. Yo, Jimmy.
Good day to you, fellas.
Good day.
Jimmy, always a great day to hear from you.
Well, I appreciate that thought, guys. I wanted to make a couple quick baseball comments, if I might. I think what we're seeing out on the diamond these days is a product of the money in the game attracting guys into baseball that are in love with the money and not in love with the game underneath it. And you see the lack of respect all the way across the board in the way that they approach the game. They are very much unprofessional in their approach. I don't see any effort to improve in weak areas. And they're laughing their way to the bank, to tell you frankly.
You know, I don't know, Jimmy. I think the money is an issue. Whether they don't love the game as much as past generations, I can't speak to that. I don't know. I just know their attention to detail and their focus is not as good. And it's very aggravating. And I do think a lack of people in authority holding them accountable is a big part of the reason why they're not good on little things in baseball.
It's a major problem. In with the money being a factor, I think in so much that they get paid a lot more, it seems like a lot earlier, because the sums that they're getting, even with a rookie contract, many times in today's world, yep, when you compare it to 40 years ago,
for sure.
I mean, you get immediate validation. So if you've got bad habits and you're a rookie, yet you've just made millions of dollars before you've even done anything, then human nature sort of it sort of cements the bad habits more so than it would have when you had to work your way to that big contract.
And by the way,
in years past,
I got to say, that's why I really admire the improvement from Tobias Harris. He's got a guaranteed $185 million, yet he's working and developing and playing like a guy who desires to get better and give his team the best chance to win a title. And I really
admire
that.
He's an admirable guy, man.
He is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys won't do that.
I agree. That's a good point.
Jimmy, give me a fictional trio.
One last quick comment.
Sure.
I think the difference between a baseball club and a baseball team is teams hold each other accountable, and I just don't see any of that.
I totally agree.
My trio is Porthos, Athos, and Aramis, the Three Musketeers.
Oh, Three Musketeers, answer, yeah. Sure. Yep, another classic. And I'm impressed you knew their names.
Me too.
I only remembered D'Artagnan, who wasn't one of the three.
And isn't that one of the questions in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in Slumdog Millionaire?
Oh, Slumdog. Yeah, I think you're right about that. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, I think you had to say that.
Sounds familiar.
The Three Musketeers. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, coming up, 215-592-9494. I want to ask my two buddies here, my two pals, Mr. Ritchie and Seltzer, if they've noticed something about the Phillies that I have noticed. What it is, we'll address it next. Plus, all the conversation about the Sixers. Big game 3 tonight. You don't want to be in a 2-1 hole. That and more on the table. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie on WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.